Podtecular, episode 366, Arena Gaming League, for May 4th, 2013. Hello everyone, welcome to Podtecular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Dust Storm, and this week we're going to take a little competitive side of things, or actually this specific episode, and to talk about some of the competitive Halo stuff, we have what is probably considered the new premier league for Halo competitive play, and that is Arena Gaming League. So with me, I have Brad and Connor from Arena Gaming League. So welcome, guys.
Welcome. Thanks for having me.
I'll welcome myself, I guess.
Welcome, Brad.
I always gotta try to be a little different than everybody else in some way.
Fair enough. whatever floats your boat. We can adjust here on Podtacular a little bit. So, Brad and Connor are, again, over from Arena Gaming League. I think, Brad, you are the founder of AGL, or co-founder?
Correct. That is me.
And then Connor, you are also staff over there, and you are actually founder of AGL Wired.
Correct.
So we have two of the big brains over from Arena Gaming League, and I am going to probe them with tons of questions about Arena Gaming League, about competitive Halo, and kind of get the rundown of what the new kind of era of competitive Halo is and where it's going from here on out. So we're going to go ahead and start with Brad. Why don't you go ahead and give us a little bit of background on how you got your start in Halo and what kind of led you to the position now where you're actually running a Halo League.
All right, we're going to go back that far, huh? Wow.
Yeah.
Whenever it's going to be like a 24-hour show. Everybody go get some popcorn, water. This is going to be a while. to sum it up, I mean, I've been in the Halo scene since 2005 when MLG was in Chicago. And that was my first event that I ever went to, just to kind of check it out. And then I was kind of, just kind of following the competitive scene for a while until 2009. I went to Columbus 2009 and just kind of did some, you know, BS FFA stuff there. Couldn't really get on a team because passes sold out so fast. Then I was able to play at Anaheim 2009. That was my first event I played at. And actually, first time I met Connor as well. So
yeah.
That's how far back we go of kind of knowing each other at least. And after that, I've competed in like 13 MLG events. With my highest placing was 8th place at a combine back before Ryan Noob was a big shot, and I got the opportunity to team with him for a few events. So,
wow. Nice.
Yeah, that was kind of how that all went. And then getting into AGL, kind of backpacked it off of Bonafide, which is our clothing company, if anyone isn't aware of that. Bonafide Boarding. We sponsored a few players, Strong Side, Alumni, Cheeky. I can't even remember who else we sponsored back when we first started. But we started off with some pros sponsoring them. And then kind of developed the trust of all the players and everything with just our relationship as a clothing company. And then as MLG started to die, we just kind of decided that we didn't want to see Halo die and that we were going to kind of take it, you know, under our wing and into our own hands and start holding events and just kind of wing it as we were going. And we winged our first few events, and, you know, all of the events have some kind of problems, but that's just how esports goes. And, you know, it's getting better and better, and now leading up to this next huge event in Knoxville, I think it's gonna really, really change everybody's mind on what they've heard or seen about us in the past, and give them a really good foresight of what the future of Halo is gonna look like. Not only Halo, but other games as well, with Arena Gaming as we branch out into other titles in the future as well.
And it's good to see that you guys have kind of picked up where MLG left off. You guys even had events before MLG officially dropped the ball on Halo, but we'll get to that here in a little bit. Connor, I'm going to ask you the same question. How did you get your start with Halo, and how did you get to where you are today?
Started Halo back in, I want to say, Halo CE. I went over to my friend's house, played Halo for the first time. Was completely mind blown. Next day, went out, bought an Xbox, played Halo 1 every day, all day. Like split screen, and then like at friend's house is LAN. And then Halo 2 came out, like, still was a casual player, but played all the time. Then Halo 3 came around, and I went to my first event in, like, Meadowlands 2009. Loved playing Halo, loved the competitive side. And then, you know, just really started to develop as a player as I went to more and more events and practice more. And then, you know, I think it was earlier this year where I actually got interest in, like, you know, trying to run events and trying to, like, you know, bring Halo back to where it used to be with, like, you know, big money tournaments. And that's when I, like, came up with the idea for Wired, was that, like, you know, I wanted to, like, figure out a way where we could get, you know, up to, like, $50,000 in a tournament back into Halo.
Yeah.
So, from there, you know, talked to Brad, and then, you know, he gave some input on my whole tournament structure, and then we came up with the whole Wired thing, and, you know, that is launching, I think, in a week or two, something like that, right?
Yeah. According to the entry, it's starting on the 14th.
Yeah.
On your website, yeah.
Hoping. yeah, it's been our web guys have been working their asses off, so hopefully everything comes through in time to start the registration and kind of launch something pretty cool for everybody.
Very nice. So let's get into the origins of AGL. So I know for me, I personally heard about AGL back in 2012, kind of where the MLG was thinking about dropping Halo Reach, but they're still holding on to it. And you guys were actually doing tournaments while MLG was still doing Reach tournaments. So where did AGL actually start in terms of when did it become an idea from you guys? And then when did it develop to when you actually hosted your first tournament? How did it start? When did it start? And how did that process kind of evolve?
We kind of
touched on it, but go a little bit more into detail.
Yeah, we kind of had the first like spark of the idea. Like I want to say November of 2011, we kind of, you know, thought me and Billy were just brainstorming and saying that, you know, esports kind of needs to be more league focused rather than just people having events. So then I started to develop a structure with, essentially, you know, teams playing for a city. That's kind of our ultimate goal here, is to get, you know, teams representing a city like every other sport. So we came up with a structure based off of that. And then I kind of took everything that I disliked as a competitor, not being, you know, a pro gamer. I was always good or on a team or a last minute team and just never could really get that break I needed. So we kind of wanted to develop it to where all the amateurs have that potential of getting a lot further than you would just going to a bracket tournament and getting more worth your money. You know, you go to an event and you're spending hundreds, you know, thousands of dollars depending on where you have to travel to and everything like that. And the last thing you want to do is go and play, you know, two series against two good teams and you're done. So you played four games and it's just like, I just wasted all that time, all that effort practicing and everything. And that's what just happened. I have to sit here for the next 2.5 days and do nothing. So, you know, we offer the pool play scenario where you're playing a minimum of 14 games. So you're playing seven series, you know, at least two games in each series. And that's your money's worth right there, at least. And then obviously, you know, giving people then they advance to the bracket and it goes from there. So we give that, that extra kind of incentive for everybody who's trying to get started and stuff to kind of pick us over other events, because you're going to get more out of your practice. And not only that is, you know, you get put into these pool plays, you could play against some of these really good top teams and practice against them and play against some of your idols and everything and not necessarily matter if you lose that series to them. But you get that practice, and then who knows, maybe what you learned in that series, then you go and you beat the other six teams because you just got, you know, you just kind of learned on the fly playing against, you know, a really nice, you know, high quality team. So that's kind of what, that's kind of why we have it developed like that. And now going into these bigger events, giving the top teams a bye through that pool play is just because, from the past events, we've just seen them just sweep their pool. So it's kind of pointless to take those, you know, top 16 pro teams and let them take up two of those advancing spots. So, you know, we're just saying, you know, screw it, let them not play in pool play. And then that gives, you know, that many more spots to those amateur players to advance into the bracket. So
I think it's like 18 teams for Knoxville, if I'm correct on my
24
extra teams get to make it. So that's pretty cool.
That's pretty nice.
Is it 24? Yeah, it is 24. Yep.
Well, and you guys have also said that with the bigger team sizes, or at least having more teams, you actually are able to give a bigger prize pot for these events as well.
Yeah, correct. We kind of do it. When we first started, you know, we were doing 100% payout of everything that was signed up, and we kind of had to lean away from that a little bit because...
Got to pay the bills.
Yeah, you just basically we have what it costs to put the events on. And so, yeah, with, you know, basically we have a structure where depending on how many teams sign up is what the payout will be. Like right now, Pass went on sale for Knoxville, 3 days ago? And we've sold about 60. So it's pretty much half sold out already, which isn't that bad. You know, if it was less teams, like if it was only 48 or 64 teams, it'd be sold out already. But I think that because there's so many teams, you know, it's going to take a week or so for it to sell out. But we have really strong confidence that the 120 teams will sell out because our past two events, the waiting list has been over 200 people. So that's kind of how we determined on let's have this big event. Let's do a bigger payout and everything like that. So hopefully it does sell out so we could do the payout and do all these extra awards that we're planning on doing for everybody to kind of give more incentive to keep helping us grow so that we could give more back to the community as a whole.
All right. Very nice. I know there's a lot of emphasis right now on AGL7, which is going to be in Knoxville, Tennessee, and you guys have really gone all out on describing how the venue is going to be and everything, but there still is AGL6 Pittsburgh, which is coming up. I know it's not as big of an event. There's not nearly as many teams, but you want to kind of talk about it a little bit since it's actually next weekend. Registration is obviously closed and all the teams that are going there are probably already set on their way. But is there anything special in Pittsburgh that we can see from just an addition on top of AGL5, or are you kind of saving all that stuff for AGL7?
We got player cams, so we will be debuting the player cams at AGL6. We got those. Yes. We got those in early, and we kind of want to give them a test run so that if there is any issues with it during the event, we can make sure that it's fixed by AGL7. So, other than that, everything else, all the other glitz and glamour type stuff will all be done at AGL7. There's actually a lot of other behind the scenes stuff that will be going on for the stream that we're cooking up. And then both events will have Ghost, Gandhi, and Maven commentating, so they're locked in for both events, so
nice.
Everybody can see them returning. But yeah, other than that, all the extra stuff will be at debuting at AGL7 with all the extra content and stuff around the stream and more interview type stuff to fill in between games.
Yeah, and it seems like you guys are kind of pulling off of what MLG has done before, but then you're still trying to do your own little things in terms of what you're doing for the stream, getting player interviews done, getting other players in the booth. What's kind of that thing that you think separates AGL from MLG?
For just the stream-wise, like production-wise?
Or all around. I mean, there's definitely certain aspects. There's the whole stream and production aspect, and then there's the actual stage and being able to entertain the people that are there. What's the big difference? I know there's not nearly as many spectators on site for the events. It's mostly stream-based, but where are those key differences that really sets AGL aside from MLG?
I'd say that the biggest thing is going to be pool play, first of all. So that's probably the biggest thing that sets us apart. And then the stream wise, obviously our production value is a lot lower than them, but the equipment that we have acquired, we are able to step it up and give a really, really nice high production value to everybody watching. And then, I think that a couple of things that you'll be seeing taking off at AGL 7 is going to definitely be setting us apart. A lot of stuff we're going to be doing for the top, you know, 24 teams with media stuff, you know, specialized video and picture stuff that then will be implemented in the stream in a certain way, which everybody will have to tune in to see how that takes effect. And then we're going to also be having, you know, on site there, which is actually really cool, is it is a laser tag facility. So Dustin and Battlefield Knoxville, they're going above and beyond to make sure that this event is going to be like the best Halo event, Halo, since MLG has dropped it. And that's why right now we're planning on having all of our events in Knoxville, because of how perfect this venue is. I mean, he's got a full on main stage. He's got two VIP rooms. You know, he's got a 3,000 square foot laser tag facility. He's got, you know, everything there that we need to have these huge events. So it's absolutely perfect. And I think that with all of that aspect there, it definitely allows the community to get a lot closer than they were with MLG. Because kind of what happened was with MLG was Halo was really close, you know, in Halo 2, beginning of Halo 3, and then it kind of broke apart, I guess you can say. And then it was like, oh, I'm a pro, I'm not going to talk to you. Oh, I have more points than you, I'm not going to talk to you. Now it's like you go to an AGL event, you know every single person there because it's all Halo, and you're talking to every single one of them because there are no more egos right now. Everybody is friends with everybody again, and that is just how it needs to be. It doesn't need to be all that hateful drama, esports nonsense. So all it's awesome. Eagles.
Egos flying everywhere, yeah.
Yeah, so it's awesome to see all of that kind of come back, like to the Halo roots and everything with what the community's doing. And it's awesome that they, you know, everybody that's kind of followed us has, you know, grabbed onto our coattails and said, you know, let's help push Arena to the top and not just, you know, let Halo die. So it's really good to have a community like that following us and backing us up instead of just everybody hating on us. You know, everybody's gonna like things we do and dislike things we do, and you just gotta take it as it is. But you know, overall, it's a very good supportive community, and hopefully they just continue to support what we're doing and grow, and you know, give us the feedback and criticism so that we can fix anything that's you know, they don't like, so that we can fix it, because we do take that to heart and we do go about fixing stuff immediately. I know a lot of people that don't talk to us on a personal level. They don't know that, but, you know, all the people out there that kind of hear all the inside information and stuff, they know that once something goes wrong with anything that we're doing, like it's fixed immediately. Like after that, like we can't fix it, you know, during the event necessarily, but like the second that event is over, guess what? The six of us are sitting down and like, we're like, this needs to not happen again. And it's fixed. Like in minutes, it's fixed for the next event. Because we know what went wrong, and it's handled before everybody even chooses out about it. So it's definitely something that we strive for, is, you know, definitely being the best and bringing this, you know, we don't want to be just a company that's holding events. We want to be a league, and we want to kind of take, you know, Halo to the next level and show that, you know, all these other games can become a league and not just, you know, going from one event to another event for no reason. You know, we're right. Trying to give it a little bit more of a purpose to being a gamer.
Well, it's definitely interesting how you're kind of going about this as a league perspective instead of how MLG did it was with the pro circuits. They did have sort of an implementation of a league type structure with the game battles, but I don't think it really fit that kind of league aspect that you guys are really trying to drill in on and really expose for something like Halo. And you guys are still, it seems like you're definitely ramping up, and there's still things that you guys are working out, but every two or so events, you've definitely improved on what you've been doing. And it's been really nice to see you guys kind of come out of the woodwork and really start to bring glory back to what Halo Competitive actually is. So it's been really nice to see what you guys have been doing so far.
Nice. Thanks.
So for Knoxville, you guys said that there's going to be a laser tag thing. I really wish I could go to this one. I'm probably going to go to the finals whenever you guys do those. So I want to go to some of these AGL events. It's just a matter of finding times in my schedule, but I definitely right. want to go and definitely support you guys in any way possible. Why don't you go into the details, like the how many teams we're going to have for AGL7, the prize pool, some of the other stuff, like the new feature things that you're going to have. Like, are you going to have new stage projectors? Are you going to have stands or whatever?
Yeah,
like, what's the new stuff?
I got what you mean.
Okay. Okay. yeah.
So I guess to start off, let's see, the team amount, 120 teams. When it sells out, not if, when it sells out, first place is $10,000, second place is $5,000, and third place is $2,000. And then the FFA is open to the top 16 teams, which is something new that we're doing. Nobody's seen a FFA with AGL yet. Everybody's been kind of wanting us to do FFAs. We kind of found a little niche of how to start to kind of, instead of, you know, us being like, hey, you're a pro player, you're getting, you know, this privilege, this privilege, and this privilege, like, you know, MLG used to do, you know, right now it's going to, our privileges are going to be, you don't have to play in pool play, and you get, you know, invited to play in the FFA and possibly win another $500, you know, for being a pro player, basically. So that's kind of what we're doing with those top 16 teams. And then on top of that, with them, we're doing a media day, which is will also happen on Friday. So we'll be playing FFA and doing a media day. And I've got, we've got an awesome, I think it's 3 or 4 man video and film crew coming out that they helped us at the last event. Grant, huge shout out to him and his guys. They're going to come out and take care of it. And they're going to be doing on-site photo shoots also for teams that are not pro teams. So like if you're an individual or if you're a team and you want to get team pictures and stuff, they're going to be doing like nice team pictures all weekend long. They'll have it, somebody set up, you know, with a white or a black backdrop to do that so you can get team pictures. I can't promise they're going to be free for everybody, but we will do some kind of deal package, you know, like if you – I guess the only way that I could explain is like if you went to a wedding and then you wanted to order like pictures like from that wedding, it's kind of similar to that. So mm-hmm. you can get, you know, nice pictures of yourself or of your team just with a couple minutes of your time during that weekend. So it kind of gives the spectators and, you know, teams and stuff when they're not playing something else to kind of mosey around and do. Because I know it's always fun to get, you know, kind of memorable moments of who you went with at each event and stuff like that. And then as far as the stream goes, we'll have the player cams. We'll have cameras for the commentators. Obviously we'll have an interview station set up right next to where the commentators will be. So we'll be able to jump in and have different people interviewing different players before or after a match. Without it being like too hectic, cause we failed at that in Nashville cause it was very hectic. Mm-hmm. And then, stations. So with it being 120 teams, there's 88 Xboxes and monitors that allows.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, so that allows 8 for the main stage and then 84 out in the pool play area. And out in the pool play area, it's basically going to be sectioned off with station signs and dividers and everything like that. So the spectators can't go right up along where you're playing, and there's room for the refs and everything to walk in. And everything like that's because it was really, really cramped in Nashville and that caused a lot of issues. So we're solving that issue with putting nice dividers in there so that people can only walk so close within the equipment. And then let's see, the controller shop will be there doing custom controllers.
Nice.
I don't know exactly what they'll be doing, but they're going to have a nice fancy booth, I'm told. And then I was actually contacted by a beef jerky company, which I can't really say who it is yet until anything's like squared away there, but there might be a beef jerky company.
Interesting.
Yeah, that might be jumping on sponsoring us starting Nashville. So that could be kind of cool. we're trying to get the army to run security for the event so that nobody messes with any of our stuff.
Wow.
So we'll probably end up seeing, I want to say it's like a 95% chance that you'll see some kind of Army, Navy, or like National Guard uniform people running security and making sure that everybody has their wristbands and credentials and everything. So there will
wow.
be no jacking around with anything at this event.
That would be interesting to see uniformed people being security for a first-person shooter event. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, no one's gonna try to steal anything or cross a line without a wristband when there's men in uniform standing there. I just don't think that anybody is gonna attempt anything silly like that. So,
mm-hmm.
Plus, I think also, it's just like an overall cool image, you know?
Yeah, isn't the Knoxville like event? Isn't it actually like 50,000 square feet? Isn't it like a giant venue?
Yeah, it's 50,000 square feet, and half of it's laser tag, and then half of it's for like our setup, basically. And I'm told that the main stage has its own, like, separate room, basically. And the main stage, it's going to be like your typical, you know, V main stage that you always see with four people on each side, shape of a V. But then above every single player, they will have their own monitor. So you could watch any player that you want to watch. I don't know how big they're going to be. I'm going to assume like 32 to 42 inches. And then those will be above every single
station. That's pretty cool.
And then on each side of the station, we'll have a 7-foot projector as well. And then I'm told that there's like another like 10 or 12 foot projector, like movie theater type thing somewhere to be able to watch the screen. So I'm not exactly sure yet. We're still waiting to get our pictures that we're allowed to leak because they're moving from a one building to like a building right next door. And they just got it done painted and the tiling and stuff. So he's waiting to send us pictures to like it starts to be a little bit more done.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I can't wait to leak pictures. I can't wait.
It sounds like you guys found a really good place to do this as well.
Yes. Yeah. They're phenomenal. Like anybody who just go and tweet at Battlefield Knox and tell them they're amazing because they absolutely, they helped us out at Nashville last minute, get some extra equipment there, helped us ref some of their girls, and they're going to do a phenomenal job in Knoxville. And the other cool thing is they only hire girls from what I'm told. So all the staff that you'll see at Knoxville,
mm-hmm.
are girls.
mm-hmm.
That's what I'm told.
I'm stoked for like in a year from now, there'll be like 30 championship banners hanging from the ceiling.
Oh yeah. Why don't you go ahead and touch on the trophies and stuff.
The trophies.
Ooh,
as
trophies.
Well.
Ooh.
All right, you do the banners. I'll do the trophies.
Yeah, you do the trophies. You know more on that. for every team that wins, like, because we obviously want to expand and, like, you know, every team that wins, like, gets first place in an event, gets a championship banner raised most likely at the next event. And so, like, you know, you think, like, you know, at first it'll only be one, but then you think, like, a year from now when there's 30 hanging from the sky and it's like Ambush, Warriors, you know, all these top teams. And then it'll just be cool. It adds like a certain like stadium league feel to it, which I'm super excited to see how that turns out.
Yeah, we talked to Dustin, who's the owner over there, about kind of branding Battlefield Knoxville alongside Arena Gaming to have it be like our home stadium type deal. So it's going to be really cool to see all the signage that we're able to put in there to kind of brand Arena Gaming into Battlefield Knoxville and work, you know, side to side and hand to hand with each other to just put on these phenomenal events. So the trophies, I love trophies. Let me tell you, you don't even know, like I would rather give people trophies than give them money because I love trophies so much. So,
I'm sure people appreciate the money too.
Oh, well, duh. But I'm just saying, like, you know, the way I look at it is this, like, kind of comparing it to like the X Games or the Dew Tour or anything, Street League. If you win that, you're getting some kind of trophy to be like, you know, what do you have? You know, if you win a video game event and you win money, what do you have to show that you won that event? You don't have anything. You have nothing, you know, to kind of be like, you know, look back or have your own trophy case or whatever, depending, you know, what kind of person you are. I know me, I would have a trophy case of all this stuff that I did if I was some huge gamer. You know, because that would just be really cool. And then, you know, it goes down the road and everything like that, you know, in the future, and someone walks in your house and like, what is this? And then you get to tell them how awesome you are. So we found this amazing company to do custom trophies for us. They do a lot of really, they actually do like skateboarding Hall of Fame trophies, the Street League trophies. I know they've done some stuff for Facebook, for Machinima. They've done a lot of really big awards, and we have been talking to them about doing trophies for us. So we're kind of doing a Stanley Cup-esque trophy for our main trophy. Can't really say how it's going to look yet because I haven't even seen the pictures or anything, the renders. But it's going to basically, we're going to have a trophy case in Battlefield Knoxville. And the trophy will be in there permanently as if it was like, you know, a stadium or a school. So this trophy, it's not going to be one that anybody can take home because we just want that like big trophy that people can see during the events, take pictures after, and then they will get their name, you know, engraved on the bottom, their name and everything like that engraved on it every time they win. So then it'll, you know, you can look at the whole trophy and see who won every single event and whatnot. And then hopefully in the near future, we'll be able to do individual, like smaller versions of those trophies. That won't be starting right now at this event, but maybe one of the next events later in the year. We're hoping to do that. So then you'll be able to take home like a miniature one of the trophy. But then with our other awards, our Astro MVP award and our Caster's Choice award, the Astro MVP award, that's kind of like a player's choice award. The top four teams, they get to pick what player deserves MVP, and then they get an Astro A40 system. And now they're actually, we're going to be upping it, and they're going to be getting an Astro A40 system and a scout backpack. And then we are getting,
you guys are loading them.
And then we're getting a custom MVP, Astro MVP trophy. And when I say custom, I mean like Heisman, like trophy looking custom, like nice trophy
for
the winner of the MVP. So that every event, there will be this nice MVP trophy that they'll be able to take home. And then the same thing with the Caster's Choice. The Caster's Choice, they're getting $500 cash, and they're getting a Caster's Choice trophy. So we're kind of developing this whole award system to, even if you don't win in that top money, you can take home these really nice awards and everything and have something to kind of, you know, showboat about and whatnot.
That's so pretty cool. That's, you guys are really branching out into trying new things here, aren't you?
Yeah, and then I was talking to Astro the other day, and it looks like they might be supplying us with another headset to give away for another Astro award as well. So we might be doing the Astro MVP award, which would be the A40 system and scout backpack, and then we're even thinking to do give the runner up a scout backpack just to be nice, and then we'll have another headset to use to give away for some other award. We're not really sure what that award's going to be yet. We're still kind of throwing that up in the air, but they definitely expressed interest in doing another award as well. So lots of goodies.
Very nice. Wow, you guys are not stopping on putting anything out there, are you?
No.
Nope.
Very nice. Well, you guys definitely have your work cut out for you.
Oh, for sure.
You are getting Gandhi, Ghost Yami, Maven back on for casting, right?
Correct.
All those guys, because I think a lot of people were saying that for AGO5, once those guys came in and started commentating, stream quality jumped up, and I believe you topped 6,000 viewers last time, right?
Yeah, it was 6,100, and I don't know what it is, but our Chicago event, actually, the numbers were better than Nashville, surprisingly. So,
really?
Yeah, so we think we know why. We think there's a couple little things of why we know why that'll be fixed on that. I think it just kind of comes down to the promotion of the stream, because, you know, when we're on the stream and stuff, we're promoting it and telling everybody to tweet it out a lot, and that's something we didn't really push the casters to do at the last event. So it's just kind of something that we need to, you know, have them do, you know, every hour or, you know, whatever, tell people to tweet the stream, because, you know, as people are watching, they just kind of forget and they get lazy and stuff, instead of, you know, keep promoting the stream and tweeting at us and everything. It, you know, if our Twitter isn't constantly being blown up, if people aren't talking about the stream on their Twitters, you know, nonstop, then the promotion isn't going to stay there, and it's just going to kind of level off at a certain point instead of pushing it, you know, to that next level. So it's just little stuff like that, but, you know, it is what it is. Got to take it one step at a time. That's how I look at it.
Right, and you guys are definitely taking those steps and really pushing forward with it, which is good to see coming from you guys. And I mean, everything you're doing, it seems like it's moving in the right direction. I don't think anyone's really discounted you for anything in one particular thing that you've done, except for maybe technical glitches. But other than that, you guys have been really adding to the streaming quality of competitive Halo from when you guys started. So you guys have definitely been getting better at what you guys have been doing.
Oh, definitely.
I think that's really it for AGO7. You guys are going to be using the V4 settings, the new settings that Ghost has put out there.
We hope. Well, I guess that's an issue on the table right now.
From the site page, it says you're going to be using the V4.
Yeah, but with the recent developments of the new weapon...
The weapon tuning?
yeah, and all that coming out 4 days before our event kind of sucks. So we're kind of in a place right now where we're trying to figure out, we're trying to get in touch with 343, get in touch with Ghost a little more in the next couple of days and kind of figure out what's going to be happening there, because we're trying to decide, you know, he's trying to release V4 the Monday after Pittsburgh, and he's trying to get it so that all the maps are out and the settings and stuff so people can start practicing. And we're trying to decide, do we release it with the 4-shot? Do we release it with the 5-shot? And the 4-shot being the European settings, so that people are at least somewhat used to the 4-shot. So 4 days before the event, when we don't have a choice but to switch to the 4-shot, that's kind of what we have to do, because we could say, let's not update any Xboxes and let's just leave it normal. But one, that's, I don't think 343 is going to want us to do that. I think they're going to want us to play with that new settings, and that might be something that a reason that they're releasing it right then, so they could see it in tournament play right away. And then the other issue is with Halo, if you don't have all the Xboxes updated, they're not going to connect to each other, and it causes huge issues. So right. Like it's something that I don't want to worry about is, oh, we didn't update all the Xboxes, now one of them accidentally got updated and now we're screwed. So we're just going to, whatever the update is we're going to have to update it. So if that weapon buffering or tuning and everything comes out right before the event, like they're saying it's going to, that'll definitely be inputted. And, you know, what I've heard from a lot of players is it's really not that big of a deal, because knowing the maps is a little bit bigger of a deal than whether or not it's a 4-shot versus a 5-shot. So
I would still think the weapon balance is pretty significant, because people are used to using a weapon in a certain way, and then when you actually go and change that, it does change the game flow a little bit. My only concern would be, how much time are these people actually going to be able to play with the settings before the tournament? I mean, 4 days really isn't that much time to get comfortable with new settings. So, technically it's even across the board, because everyone will be getting the new settings at the same time. But it's still one of those things where you have very few days to get used to the new settings, and I mean, that may lead the way towards a smaller team actually coming up and upsetting someone like Warriors or Ambush or any of the other kind of top level teams.
That's very
and
true.
Those small things can make a big difference sometimes.
Oh, for sure. I think it's such a hard topic, because it's like, it could be this huge curveball, or it could like barely change the game at all and everyone's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll just have to see what happens as far as the settings go.
All right. I think that's all from the Knoxville stuff that we've covered most of it. Do you have a thing in here about Team FFA?
Yeah, that's the top 16 teams that'll be able to play on Friday.
Okay.
So Friday's stream all day will be the FFA, and it'll just be the top 16 teams playing in it.
Very nice. I really wish I could go just to do the laser tag. I mean, $30 for unlimited laser tag.
I know, right?
I mean, come on.
We're going to have GoPros and stuff for people to wear.
Nice.
While they're playing laser tag, and then we're going to be able to put that into like recap videos and possibly even cut some of it right there on the spot and throw it on for the stream people to watch.
I still want to go now.
It's going to be really cool. You know, we already know Ambush versus Warriors. I'm going to try to get them there like Friday morning, and go and stream their laser tag match. Because it'll just be Gandhi says he's going to be BXRing people, so
nice. Hopefully he's not beating anyone down. Holy.
That would be pretty bad. We don't want blood at the event, if at all possible.
Yeah, so when Maven has a bloody nose on stream, we know why.
Do you know if this is going to be something that we're going to see every time you go to Knoxville, this the laser tag stuff?
Yeah,
oh, it'll be.
We will be in the same venue every single time we're in Knoxville.
Nice.
Right now, we're honestly planning on just using this venue for every single month, because, and a lot of people, I guess I could touch on this, because a lot of people got really, really upset with us because we canceled Seattle and Atlanta and everything like that, and it's just because the venues weren't big enough. We were going to have problems with getting equipment there, and it wasn't going to be a big enough event for us to do it. It wasn't going to be worth it for the Halo community or for us as a company or anything to grow. It would just set us back. And we talked to Gandhi on our show last weekend, and he kind of said, you know, if you guys go out to Orange County even, and they have an awesome facility that's being built out there, that it could dwindle kind of where we're ramping up and the size events that we're growing towards, because the West Coast is always a smaller turnout. So, you know, we could go from having, you know, huge events here to having smaller events out there, and it could kind of ruin our flow. So we kind of said, you know, on the stream, and even asked a bunch of other people, what if we just said Knoxville is it? It's in the center, like it's in the center of the Midwest, you know, from, you know, the north to the south of the Midwest up to the East Coast. It's about the same distance from, you know, like down in Florida, up in Milwaukee, over New York. It's like the same distance driving wise for everybody, even from like Texas. So it's like, it's really, really centrally located in that fact. And we figured, you know, what's going to be the best? A venue that has a main stage, has everything there, has the laser tag, all this stuff to do, where we can go and set up our stuff and leave it, you know, set up there, have trophy case displayed there, have all our signage there, and make it, you know, Arena Gaming's home and the home of, you know, everybody goes there. They already, you know, they could kind of build in a routine then. Oh, you know, I'm playing this time. Well, I'm going to play laser tag here and here, and then I'm going to go and chill in the VIP room, and then I'm going to go do this. So, you know, kind of, so it creates that familiarity with, you know, having these just outstanding events and never lacking quality of it.
Very nice. I think the AGO Wired may kind of fill some of that other needs for just being out in some of those other places. We'll get to that in a second. As far as having those other events kind of out on the coasts, I mean, you guys were originally planning how many events for this year?
There's one every month, and there still will be one every month.
Well, I thought at one point you guys were planning more than one a month.
It was like a small one, and then a big one, a small one, and a big one. And it was just one every month, and then the Wired, like the live Wired event overlaps one month, so then that month there's the potential of having two.
Mm-hmm.
But that's other than that, it's just one a month. So it was going to be 10, and then I think with Wired it was 11. And let's see, we've had what, 3, 4, 5, and then it'll be July, August, kind of October, November. Yeah, so there'll still be 10.
Okay. Everyone in the stream is kind of clamoring on why that you canceled Seattle.
Well, yeah, okay.
And
the 100%, like the reason is the venue is not big enough, and there's not guaranteed equipment. It would be scrounging equipment from local people that live there, and that is not something that we can commit to and have it fall through at the last minute. So it's just not something we can do. You know, maybe in the future, yeah, maybe we can work something out with, you know, who knows, 343 are doing something up near them and have a smaller, you know, specialized event, you know, with their support or something. But the way that we have,
I think 343 would be more than happy to kind of help you guys out. I mean, they promoted your last stream, and they're no doubt going to promote AGL7. So,
yeah, it's just, and it's a cost thing too. I mean, for us to go out there and bring all of our streaming equipment, we have to drive. That's like a 26-hour drive. So,
yikes.
I have to justify that as well. And then I have to justify flying out, you know, three people and paying for, you know, $700 plane tickets. So it's like, you know, there's so much stuff that comes into play with it that, you know, everybody just doesn't see, you know, on the outside that has to be accounted for. And sometimes it's just not possible to make it happen. So.
Fair enough. Okay. I think we've kind of beating the dead horse on the AGL7 part. We've kind of covered that one pretty well. Why don't we head over to the AGL Wired topic? So, Connor, this is kind of up more your alley. So, why don't you go into detail on what Wired is for
Wired?
AGL.
Well, it's sort of an online / LAN tournament, and how it starts is like you pretty much sign up. There's like 32 pools you can join, and then you pick a pool, which is actually each pool is a city, so you're only really playing people that live near you to make the online experience go a little bit better. And then that's also backed up by a great support team, yada yada yada. Cheaters won't be able to make it far. I don't really want to confuse people on like how that all works on that side, but you know, cheaters won't make it far in the event. They'll just end up getting banned, so you don't have to worry about that. But pretty much what it is you play for about a month, and then you play everyone in your pool, and you try and get the best win to loss ratio. And then the team that finishes the month with the best win to loss ratio makes it into the playoffs, where they get invited to, I think we're doing Knoxville, right, Brad?
Yeah.
And so you get invited to come to Knoxville for a 32 team event, invite only. So it's not open to, like, you know, anyone who wants to go. And then you also get to play in a separate bracket for, like, a sponsorship. And depending on how many teams sign up, the lowest amount, the, like, prize pool will be is $15,000, and the highest it will be is $50,000. So it's really a way of, like, you know, branching out to the people that, like, you know, maybe don't have the money to fly to an event, get a hotel, pay for a taxi, pay for food. You know, you end up spending like $1,000 when you go to an event. So it's like, or, you know, maybe not that much, but so it's like really to suit those type of players that want to compete, but don't exactly have the, like, means or the funds to, like, go to an event. And, like, it's also a way to get, you know, that high prize money back into the Halo community and Halo tournaments.
Okay. Is there any kind of expansion on this that you see maybe for, like, next year if this is very successful, or?
Yeah, this is, I mean, kind of like adding other games, are you saying?
I mean, you have the kind of conference structure here. You have the North, East, South, and West. Mm-hmm. And it looks like you have a good amount of cities that are there.
Mm-hmm.
Would you be inclined to up the prize money if you guys are just kind of explode from that point? Or what kind of changes would you foresee to make to AGL Wired if this thing just takes off running?
I mean, if it takes off, you know, definitely expand on, like, who we're reaching out to, not just North America, but have, like, you know, a whole different tournament maybe for Europe and, like, you know, all those different countries, but obviously it wouldn't be in one thing. And then also expanding on games, expanding on the prize money, expanding, you know, really on everything, because it's like this, the way it's structured, it's not exactly a tournament. It's not exactly a league. It's sort of like in that middle ground. So, you know, we really want to expand off of that and, like, really push to get, you know, Halo on that whole different scale of, like, almost like a league, you know, where you have a city, like, and you have, like, a whole fan base behind that city and who's played for that city. And, like, so, you know, if a player changes, you still have that entire fan base still there because they're a fan of that city type of thing. And, like, you know, we would for sure be down with expansion if it, like, took off, you know. Definitely increase prize money, get it really up there.
Okay. Sounds interesting. I mean, I'm when I first heard the idea from you and you actually contacted me, mm-hmm. It sounded like something really interesting, and it just kind of fit a little bit more into that whole league idea that you guys are really trying to push towards.
Yeah.
So, I mean, in looking at the tier structure, 448 teams for a tier 5, that's quite a lot.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot. You know, we got to prepare for the worst and be prepared for the best. You know, we don't want to have it, like, all of a sudden blow up and then it's like, oh, we weren't prepared. You know, we're prepared for, like, everything to happen, and, you know, obviously we want it to absolutely blow up,
right?
And, like, really approach those people that, you know, don't have the means to go to events, because I know a bunch of people, like, online, they just really, they don't have enough money, or, like, you know, their parents won't allow them to go to an event, you know, and this is like that bridge to finally go to an event, to finally compete, you know, have something to play for online, and then, like, also, you know, go to events as well, so you're not just, like, practicing all the time, you're actually playing for something.
The online bit I know is a little bit tricky, just from hearing other people try doing online tournaments. It can work, it has the potential of working, but the whole kind of neutral hosts and all the online issues can be quite hectic. What are you guys anticipating to kind of help resolve some of those issues if they arise?
Well, the first thing was the cities. You know, the online experience really goes better when you're playing people that live in the same state as you, or, like, same city as you. Right. So that's where the cities came into play. So, you know, if like, I have a full Californian team, all of us are Californians, you, like, the kids in New York aren't going to want to play us because we're, you know, 3,500 whatever miles, like, apart from each other, and the connection just is going to be horrible. But if we're playing another team in California, it's going to be almost like LAN. So, like, that was the first thing where it's like, you know, that immediately cuts, like, experiences. But then you have cheaters. You know, if you get cheated, you submit a ticket, the cheater's going to get banned. I have people lined up that are ex, like, DDoSers, ex people that, like, hit people offline. And, like, they know how to spot those type of things and know what to look for. So those type of people won't make it past, like, the first game. you know, because people are going to report that they got cheated for sure. So, you know, and also like the whole online thing, it's like you're never playing for money online. Like that's where the land part comes in. I didn't want to have, you know,
okay,
$50,000 on the line in an online game where connection comes into play. Like right. That's why we added like the sponsorships and like the whole LAN environment. So it's, you know, it's something that hasn't really been done before, especially not with Halo. But that should eliminate most of the online problems.
Okay. This sounds like a pretty solid plan there.
Definitely.
Very nice. Signups open up in a little over a week.
Yeah, hopefully. We may need to delay it just a little bit. But, you know, we're really pushing to get it out as soon as possible.
Yeah, hopefully it won't be delayed. But this, at the same time, with what we're doing, we don't want to release it half-ass or half-done. Because mm-hmm. it's kind of a really, really big revamp with everything. So it's like... we don't want to release it premature, and
right.
Hopefully we don't have to push it back a week, but if we have to push it back a week, we will.
Okay.
Because we'd rather have it be perfect than not be ready to go.
Okay, very nice. I'm going to go ahead and open the floor for questions from the chat as we kind of wrap up on our topics here. The one last thing I wanted to talk to you guys specifically about was kind of your views on where competitive Halo is going. You guys have built a pretty solid foundation. You guys are growing every event. You guys are adding new features and new capabilities to every event you guys are doing. This is kind of a two-part question. One, where do you see competitive Halo in terms of like the game types going with the new weapon tuning ability? What would you like to see out of that weapon tuning? And then on top of that, where do you see competitive Halo going within the next year or two as Halo starts to put on age and as we kind of get to that point where Halo 5 starts coming around the corner? So kind of a two-parter, answer that as you please.
All I care about with the game types is that Extraction has a 3-second initial arm. I don't care about anything else. that's all I care about. If it's 3-second initial arm for Extraction, I'm a happy camper.
Okay.
But I think that with all the weapon tuning and stuff, I think the 4-shot will definitely be
huge.
A plus. The maps, I don't know. I guess, you know, we're doing like this 11 map thing now. And, you know, I really wish like Onslaught could be in there. I don't know if it's going to be or not because it's a phenomenal map in this game. Until we see the final lineup, I don't really know what else to say there because he was talking about taking out Abandon and everything, which I think it could probably just get worked on to fix the spawns. But it's a hit or a miss. Going forward into the future, I think that, you know, Halo has been kept off its feet. You know, I think that it definitely could have just died if we weren't there. I mean, if we didn't have any of the events we had, there wouldn't have been an event for... you know, basically from Columbus, well, not including the first, like, Halo 4, like, exhibition thing, because that was just, like, a huge PR play. So, you know, from when they dropped it in Columbus until, you know, essentially now with UMG and PGL and stuff, you know, there wasn't anything else for Halo, more or less, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that if we weren't there to kind of, you know, keep the faith going and stuff, I think that there would have been a huge swing of just people completely leaving the scene and it would be gone. And now that, you know, we've kind of held on, you know, a majority of those top players and everybody's kind of starting to get back into it now, it's just starting to kind of you know, kindle that fire and the flame and stuff underneath everybody playing Halo. And so now, you know, UMG comes in, PGL comes in, you know, there's going to be, you know, several events every single month and people are going to kind of have to pick where they're going. They're going to kind of have to decide, which company is their favorite to go to, or, you know, those events, whether they're online or, you know, maybe more local and smaller, it'll allow people to attend smaller, you know, bracket size events. But I think that there's going to be a lot of potential for Halo. And I think as we keep growing it as a league and pushing it to be more than just going to an event and playing through a bracket and, you know, becoming, you know, playing for a city and so on and so forth, you know, we've got our Wired, we've got Draft, we've got Fantasy, you know, we're hitting it from all angles so that people can just, you know, pick their avenue that they like to be involved in Halo and just have fun with it. And so I think that it's going to grow and it's just going to get better and better. And I think that 343, they know everything that went wrong with Halo 4. They definitely are going to be fixing their mistakes going into Halo 5. You know, we've got Quinn on board. You know, he's doing a phenomenal job of, you know, taking the input and everything and, you know, trying to fix stuff. So I think Halo 5 is going to be an absolute revolution for Halo. What about you, Connor?
Go ahead.
No problem. As far as like the weapon balance settings go, I know a lot of people are waiting to come back just because of the four-shot BR and like that classic feel. And like, and then like, as far as like, you know, aside from that, I feel like as far as the settings go, like, I feel like Halo 4 is kind of just getting out of the beta phase, not to like knock the game or anything, but they kind of did release it with a lot of problems and there was no beta before the game.
Right.
So it's like, I feel like it's finally starting to reach like the point where it's like, everyone's happy, like there's no real complaints. And then, you know, as far as AGL goes, it's is in like 2 years, where would I like to see it? Is like, definitely I would like to see it bigger than MLG. Would you agree with that, Brad?
Yeah. I would say in between bigger, MLG and the COD Championship.
Yeah.
I would love to see, like, you guys get bigger than MLG. That'd be big plus for Halo and a big plus for, well, you guys.
I think along that lines too, just really quick, is we do have plans on picking up Call of Duty and Gears of War right now. So that's something too to help everybody grow. It's not going to conflict with Halo at all.
And it won't take anything away from Halo as well.
We're not gonna have like a Halo and COD event. It would basically be Halo is, you know, the first weekend of every month, Call of Duty is the second weekend of every month, Gears of War is the third weekend of every month.
You guys will be busy.
And that's basically how it would work. So that's kind of what we're planning. And we're planning on having 120, you know, team event for Halo every single month. Call of Duty, if it'll show up, you know, and however many teams will show up for Gears, we got to kind of test those waters and see if those genres will jump on board with us or not. But,
okay.
Yeah.
Are there any kind of game types you guys want to see back in? I know Bomb Assault might be one that you're interested in. Are there any other ones that weren't delivered in Halo 4 that you would like to see make a return back into the Halo scene for Halo 5?
Yeah, Oddball just needs to be fixed. That's like the best game type in Halo history, and it just needs to be fixed.
I think Assault being back would be cool. Maybe, like, you know, it depends on how it plays, if it would be used or not. Assault was, like, I don't know, always a pretty cool game type, and as well, like, fixing the Oddball throw. At least, like, I feel like Oddball, like, being able to throw it, it's, like, cool for, like, Griffball and those, like, you know, fun custom games. But as far as like competitive level goes, it's like, I wish you could just drop the ball and not be able to throw it. And then also with Capture the Flag, I would like, you know, the flag juggling to come back and like not just be stuck with the flagnum. Cause it, you know, you used to be able to like do things like toss the flag up to your teammate and he catches it and like throws it in, you know, it was like very teamwork based. And like, you had to completely center yourself around the guy running the flag. So I would like to see those three things return in Halo 5.
Okay. I know that a lot of people are talking about spectator mode in the chat right now, and that's definitely something that everybody hopes to see in Halo 5.
Yeah.
You know, Call of Duty definitely nailed it with that, and I'll tell you right now, like, with the equipment that we have for our production and that we're capable of doing, like, with the 8-point of views and everything, if they were to throw a spectator mode in, we could essentially... we could stream, like, right now we'd be able to stream three different stations and have three live streams going. And on top of that, on the main stream, we would be able to jump into another 8 different games. So we would be able to jump from one game to another. So, like, if you're watching a game on main stage and it's just like a slaughter, it's like, oh, this game's done, it's boring, let's go see what's going on in, you know, this game over here. Mm-hmm. All the way across the venue, and boom, that's on main stage. Because of the equipment we already have, we have the capability of being able to stream, you know, 8 to 10 different games at that point. So that's something that we really are hoping spectator mode gets thrown in there, so that we have that capability to let people pick what they want to watch, you know, like the COD Championship had.
We have
the equipment to do that. Like, we could do that for Call of Duty or Gears of War right now.
Yeah, that's something I've been touting since Halo 3, at least whenever I started podcasting. It's something
like pushing a spectator mode.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been like, please give us some kind of tournament / spectator mode. Even if it's like a special copy of Halo or something, give us some kind of spectator mode that we can use in tournaments.
Oh, for sure. Spectator mode would be perfect for Wired as well, because then you could, like, you know, stream those online.
I wouldn't even say
matches.
That it would be, I mean, if they had to make it just a custom or a local capability, just do it that way.
Yeah.
Even if it was restricted to that, that'd be just incredible for tournament play.
Yeah, it would.
I don't know. I was really expecting it to be in Halo 4. I remember, like, people really pushing, like, and posting everywhere for 343 to do it. I mean, Gears of War has been doing it right. They've had spectator mode since their first game, I'm pretty sure. And it's like
Halo 2 has spectator mode.
In the code, yeah. They just didn't do it in the final version. Yeah, they really should have.
Yeah. It's something I'm hoping to see. And with the power behind the new Xbox, that might be something that's a little bit more feasible for them to actually go out and do.
Something that I heard that I'm not too sure on, it was like at the PS4 release, like, you're able to spectate like people's games, like, and they could be playing anything. They could be playing Viva Pinata, and like, let's say it was like the Xbox, you go into your guide and like you would hit spectate and you could just watch your friend play Viva Pinata through the PS4, not through like an in-game like feature.
I'm assuming that, like, may be part of like the live streaming capability that they've been talking about, where you can go in and live stream your own gameplay just from the console.
Okay.
I think. Yeah.
Maybe. I'm not too sure on that, but if they had something like that in Halo, in like the new Xbox, where you could just like spectate like your friends or anything, that even that would be like perfect. But
crazy.
Again, Halo 5, they need to really push that spectator mode.
Yeah. Okay, so opening the room to questions. There's been a couple in here. Let's see. First one I see from when I first asked for them is from Benjack, and he says, will there ever be a 256 team tournament at Nox if AGL gets bigger?
I don't.
Does the play space have that much room to have 256 teams?
I don't think so. I think we're maxing it out with the amount of teams we're going to have there. And I think what comes into it even more than that, more than the space, is getting the equipment. To have a 256 team tournament, we would need 200 Xboxes and monitors. So that's a lot.
Or a few extra days.
Yeah. Or it would be a Wednesday to Sunday event. Yeah. Which I'd be down for that. I don't got a problem with that. I mean,
I don't think many people would be happy leaving work and stuff for that long.
But I think that there's kind of a top secret thing we're working on right now where it has a potential for nationals to be an event that is that big, actually. I don't know if it's gonna happen, if it's plausible. Some people are trying to work some stuff out, and hopefully I'm hoping it goes in that direction, that we can have it that big and not just have it be a 120 team. But there's a potential for one event this year possibly being that big, yes. So, and that would equate to being like $35,000 worth of payouts, I believe.
Okay.
I want to say. So it would be 20 grand for first. I know that.
Nice. Something I meant to ask earlier, if you guys get big enough, do you guys see yourselves increasing the prize money? Because I have a feeling that would be something that would also attract people.
Yeah, the only way to increase the prize money is either by increasing the teams or by getting sponsors to help us throw money into it. So, I mean, you know, we're paying out, you know, 80% or more right now, mm-hmm. if it's to sell out. So we can't really go too much higher than that. And so, you know, it comes down to, you know, can we get sponsors to help us? And if sponsors fund us and help us and everything like that, then yes, the prize money will go way, way up. It's just, we need to be around a little bit longer. We need to prove ourselves. You know, we have tons of companies that are watching us, kind of, you know, waiting for us to, you know, prove ourselves, to get involved with us and everything like that. So hopefully in the near future, we start to really, really grasp on to some of these opportunities with these companies that allows us to, you know, get extra money for payouts and making the events bigger and better.
Very nice. Let's see. This is an interesting one. Rage Rages asks if, Brad, do you love him now?
Oh, Rage, you're such a... Oh, God, I can't even... I'm not even responding to that comment, Rage.
The question's in our chat room.
Yeah.
Give you a frowny face, man.
Yeah.
You're upsetting him.
You want me to go off on you, Rage? You want me to put some X here?
Let's see. Seth Zor asked the same thing about, I guess, if the prize money would go up. You just answered that one, though. So, ask the questions, guys. We're open to questions. Just go ahead and throw them in there.
You want to talk about draft and fantasy?
Yeah, we could do draft and fantasy for a little bit. So I think that I'm really excited about both. Fantasy, obviously, fantasy football, fantasy baseball, anything like that that people have been familiar with. You know, we're going to make it available so you pay $10 and you're going to be able to create your own fantasy Halo team for during one of our events. So then you're going to be able to go in, you're going to be able to pick, you know, this player, and this player. There are limitations to it, so it eliminates people from getting the same team. So not necessarily will you be able to get like your all-star, these are my four players, but, you know, with any other fantasy thing, like you go into fantasy football, you're not going to get your number one pick for every single position. So most likely you will at least end up with one or two of like your number one choices, though, with how we have it structured. So, you know, you're going to be able to do that. And then everything with how that works is based on the stats that get entered and follows like a point structure. And then whoever has like the most points in that league, for that fantasy league, you know, then they'll win $500 cash basically. So I think there's 96 people per league, and there's unlimited amount of leagues available. So once 96 people sign up, then that league's closed and another league opens for 96 more people to sign up. So it's going to be something really cool for, you know, the viewers. And I've even heard a lot of people that are going to be competing are going to do it too, because, you know, it's just another way to possibly potentially win some money. So it's going to be something that's really fun. Other than that, that's as in depth as that gets. It's pretty self-explanatory and simple. And then with draft, the easiest way to explain how draft works is like Ultimate Fighter. If you guys haven't seen that, it's, you know, two pro fighters and they have a team of people under them and they basically teach them to fight, and every week they fight and one person gets eliminated. So think of it kind of like that. So we'll have, you know, Team Ninja, Team Formal, Team Ryan, Team Brad, you know, all these crazy teams. and then basically people will sign up underneath them, depending on the pro and depending on like the package of how much you want to learn is what it'll cost. So we don't have any of that figured out yet, but you know, it could be anywhere from, you know, $10 a month to $120 a month, you know, if you want like the top thing to learn from, you know, the top player. And then every single week, you know, there'll be matchups and like a bracket. So it'll be like, you know, week one, Team Ninja versus Team Formal, who wins, and then they'll advance. And then whatever team wins the draft will win either some kind of money or an entry to one of our other events or something like that. And what that's kind of doing is that's allowing people that either are not involved in the competitive community to get involved and learn from the best. People who are, you know, looking for teams, just looking to get better in general. And it's essentially developing. So if eight people sign up under Ninja, he's got eight people. He's going to be building two teams. Now, what's to say that those two teams, you know, are going to stay together? You know, they might stay together and they might grow together and go to every single event, playing every wired thing. And they might become, you know, a really top team at some point. Who knows? You know, you never know. So like, it could be really cool being like, oh, this team started off, you know, as Team Ninja in the draft, and it's been a year now and they placed third place. So, you know, at one of our live events. So lots of potential for everybody, whether you're a viewer starting off, someone that wants to learn, whether you're already a top player. So anybody can dabble in, you know, into AGL in whichever area they want.
Nice. That's interesting. The things you guys are doing, it's interesting to see how you guys are going about kind of changing the whole competitive game for Halo. It's really interesting. Next one comes from Jake Obese. He says, what do you think your best route for attracting sponsors is?
I think it's just getting our name out there is the number one thing. Like,
I think exposure, just having the
events. Yeah, it's just exposure in general. So everybody knows who Arena Gaming is. You know, if you go and ask some random person on the street, have you heard of Arena Gaming? You want a yes. So, you know, until it's kind of that aspect, it's not necessarily, hey, we have to have 30,000 people viewing our stream. It's not necessarily anything along those lines. It's more of quality and, you know, just getting our name out there as a whole in general. And I think that going branching out into the Call of Duty and Gears community is going to really, really help with that.
Okay. Goose Checka is wondering, what are you guys doing to create a safe, inclusive environment for all the women competitive players out there? She points out specifically something that happened at the Crossfire tournament. So is there anything, I guess, special that you're doing for...
What happened in the Crossfire tournament?
I don't know. She just mentioned that in her question. Goose, if you mind expanding on that.
For gamers, I don't really have an answer to that because I have not been approached with that question.
I would say there's going to be the security and like spectators, random people won't be able to, you know, just walk up to the players because it'll be sectioned off. And I mean, I'm not even sure exactly what happened at the other event.
What the situation was, if I knew what the situation was, maybe we'd be able to respond to that a little better.
Well, because, in her question, it says women are a large part of the Halo community. How are you creating a safe, inclusive environment for those, especially in light of what happened at the Crossfire tournament? I don't know what happened. Does your all-female staff at your event promote equality and inclusivity?
That's a good point. Battlefield Knoxville, they are all girls that work there. I've never ran into an issue with that. I'd say that I pretty much know most of the girls that have come to our events, or, you know, at least meet them there. And I've never had or heard of any issues. So I don't really know, what could possibly come up. But then, you know, again, at Battlefield Knoxville, working with the Army, like we're trying to do, having them as security, I think that that's going to definitely help as well. And I'm sure that,
It sounds like it.
There will be males and female, you know, security guards as well. So I think that with kind of those two things amongst itself, it kind of covers it that area, I guess. Yeah.
And gaming events in general are pretty safe. I mean, freak accidents will happen anywhere at any time. Like, you know, you're never like truly safe. Like, you know, you go to a movie theater, you think that's fine, and then, you know, next thing you know, you got something crazy happening. And like, so, you know, I would say it's a safe environment. I wouldn't really worry about that at Knoxville, especially.
Yeah. She posted a little clarifying thing that one of the coaches actually began to sexually harass one of his own players. So I don't know. I haven't seen that really happen at MLG before.
On the main stage, I keep a really close eye on what's going on in there. And I gave out several technicals and everything like that. Mm-hmm. Our rules, if anybody does anything racist or sexist or anything, like they get warned and then they get kicked out of the venue immediately.
Okay.
So I have no problem.
So it's a pretty good environment just overall.
Yeah, I have no problem kicking people out. I have no issue with that at all. Especially if it's someone I know, I think it's even funner. I think it's fun then because it's like, dude, come on, what are you doing? And then you get to kick them out. So... I don't see that being an issue, especially with how this will be structured and the amount of staff and everything. Technicals will be given out if anybody does cross the line. You know, we do promote like trash talk. We don't want to be all like stingy and be like, you can't, you know, talk any kind of crap. Mm-hmm. It's just, you cannot direct it towards somebody else in a personal manner and then nothing like sexist or racist and then no using the F word. Those are our strictest, you know, things.
And keep it in game and don't be like, you know, excessive with it. Don't be like freaking. Don't get like an assist or like take a step and be like, oh my God, you suck. And then don't like leave the game and then, you know, like keep talking trash outside of when the match is already done. It's like totally pointless.
Okay. Yeah, I have a couple of questions.
about the technicals and like the top teams in the finals. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not really going to be too strict in the finals because it's the finals. I'm not going to DQ somebody once it gets to that, like that aspect. They did get yelled at. You can ask Snipedown. I yelled at him. Pistola. Like, they all got talked to and had to settle down once they crossed the line.
Yikes.
But to text somebody when it's, you know, that close to the end of the game and there's that much money on the line, it's kind of unnecessary in effect. You know, they know their boundaries. They're perfectly fine with each other, you know, after the game and everything. So there's no issues there. But, you know, the technicals come more into play with the more rowdy, you know, pool play and AM games. You know, when it's pros playing each other, if they're talking crap, it's for a good reason. Just because they're not just yelling every time they get a kill or something. You know, they're yelling when they're doing something really big. But I will tell you this. I did not tech any AM players at Nashville. I only teched the top players. So
okay.
I do not favor the pros in any way, shape, or form. I teched like Lethal, Suddeth, Aptitude, Pistola, Snipedown. There's a few more. So, I mean, I teched a lot of people.
Okay.
So they definitely – I even talked to Aptitude that if he had one more, he was going to get kicked out. So
yikes.
It does go to that point sometimes. So and I personally pull them aside and have one-on-one talks with them if somebody is crossing the line and make sure it doesn't happen again.
Yeah. Battlefield Knoxville. I guess he's in here right now. He clarified that all the staff that he's employs are gamers. So I think that helps balance out things a little bit. Goose's second question is, are there any considerations that you guys are thinking about putting competitive Griffball in there? Because I know for, they have a league that they've gotten like 500 plus teams registered and stuff. So they definitely have, people that are serious about Griffball. So is
they travel for it? Do you think?
Wait, I think there's 500 a good possibility. Teams signed up at one event, or is that like an overall?
No, for a league, like for a season.
Is this like a ladder season?
I believe it is. Goose, if you want to clarify up in the chat.
I would definitely have a Griffball event.
I mean, if the demand is there, you know, might as well.
I will not have a big team battle event. Wait, how many people are on a team in Griffball?
It's 4 to a team.
Okay.
So, Goose actually runs Griffball Hub, so get you two connected. And see if you guys want to at least look into it or not. Let's see. There's another question here. I misplaced it.
Griffball for $10,000. That's silly, dude. You're gonna see so many crazy people come out if something like that goes down.
I've never really watched like a competitive Griffball game, but I'm sure that those guys are capable of some crazy.
They've had one game that's gone for longer than 2 hours.
Oh,
two
God.
Hours?
For one game.
Yeah. Oh, God.
There need and to be a
that's
time
why,
limit, for sure.
Yeah, that's why I would be a little hesitant of it, because just of how long it is.
Yeah, we would have to, obviously, if it was something like in a land environment, there would have to be something, some kind of time limit thing placed to where it's not possibility of happening.
It would be an interesting idea. I'm not sure what the feasibility of it is, and that's why I think you two would be interesting to you to talk, but I don't know. It's one of those things where it could work, could not work. It just depends on what would be down the pipeline.
Yeah, definitely.
Let's see. Other questions in here. Do you guys see any other questions? I'm not seeing anything else in the chat. If you guys have any last questions, definitely go ahead and put them in the chat. If not, we're going to wrap up here pretty quickly.
Somebody was wondering about instant replays. I tested the instant replay thing that we thought was going to work, and it doesn't work because it's not compatible with Xboxes. The frame rate's different. So we have another way of doing instant replays, but we're not going to go into it right now because we don't think that the viewers are going to respect it for what it's worth, for what it's going to cost us to get it. So we're kind of holding off on that, and we're just going to kind of go with filling it more with interviews and stuff like that and special content over replays right now. And because we'd only really be able to use replays after the games, So it's like, what are you going to see it maybe used, you know, five times an event? So it's really not that worth going and getting the equipment to do it.
It would be something to, I guess, possibly do during or between matches, but that'd be the only real time that I could think you would want to do it, because so many things can happen so quickly in Halo that doing an instant replay, you might be missing something else, where in actual athletic sports, there's usually like slow down periods.
American Griffball League AGL, he just posted in the chat.
Yeah. Well, there's the AGLA, which is the American Griffball League of America.
Oh, okay.
But it's kind of funny. America's in the name?
Yeah, it's how Rooster Teeth originally started their Griffball thing.
Okay.
Yeah. Is there ever going to be game battles thing?
Like ladders? No.
No. I think your AGL wired thing is a little bit better of an idea.
Yeah, it's not like who plays the most. It's really who's the best, yeah. And it makes the online experience run a lot smoother as well. Yeah, and there's money involved.
And Battlefield said that if there is anybody that, like, if you sign up for Knoxville, you can go and play at their venue for free all the way up until the event.
Wow.
So if you need to practice and you're a local, go over there.
I really want to go. I really, really want to go.
Dude, the laser tag even has like a search and destroy game type, I think. I saw a picture of something like that. So I don't know, man.
Justin,
it may
don't
be
talk
worth...
to Rage. Rage sucks. You don't need to talk to him. Rage sucks. Don't talk to him, Dustin. Don't do it.
I keep on getting confused because my name's Dustin too. So I'm like, wait, are you talking to me? So I think that's about it. I think we've gone through all the questions in the stream. Let's see. I think we got almost to 40. We're a little bit smaller in terms of like stream count.
It was over than that, so.
Was it? Okay. I'll take your word for it. Are there any last things you guys want to promote for AGL before we kind of wrap this up?
Everybody go and tweet that passes are on sale so we can sell more of them. We have like half the passes sold, so there's like another 60 or so to go. So we want this to sell out as soon as possible for Knoxville. So we can make sure everything that we need to do, we can put into place based on how many teams are going. So we really want this to sell out, you know, as soon as possible. So all the help promoting that, and that's pretty much. And then just keep a heads up for Wired. Potentially during Pittsburgh, it will launch. We're hoping.
And then when is Pittsburgh again?
Next weekend. Pittsburgh's next weekend.
Next weekend.
Next weekend, guys. Expect
Saturday,
an event.
Sunday.
So we'll be tweeting it for you guys. At least
AGL commercials or a documentary for the future. Actually, yes. At AGL 7, you will see some stuff with AGL, like commercial based type things. And then a documentary. It's actually crazy that he just said that, because I was actually talking to somebody last week about doing a documentary on me, and it's actually going to be this film crew that's coming to Knoxville. They're going to be doing all of our video work for us from now on, and their professor is actually the guy who founded the documentary channel, and he's actually going to be doing the documentary on me alongside of them. So
wow.
I'm told it's going to be a gnarly documentary when this is done. So
maybe this is good practice for you.
It's going to be
this podcast.
Awesome.
Very nice. That'll be interesting to watch when that's done. I think we got a little bit of taste of how you kind of started here, but I'm assuming the documentary stuff will go into way more detail.
Yeah.
It'll probably take away a lot more time than we do. All right, cool. I thank you guys for coming out. This has been a blast.
He just tweeted a $10,000 Griffball tournament at us. Now my Twitter is going to go blow up. Yes. Yes. Everyone go retweet his Griffball tweet. This should
nice.
See 40 retweets in 5 seconds. Go. that's too funny, man.
But yeah, I would definitely want to have you guys on again sometime in the future. Definitely after you've had a few more events and after you've implemented way more cooler features into competitive Halo streaming and all that nice stuff. But best of luck to you guys out there. You guys are doing really good work so far. And from what it sounds like, everything that you guys are pulling up for new stream ideas, new concepts is really, really interesting and really beneficial, at least to the Halo community. And we thank you for that from us Halo players.
Yeah, no problem.
Awesome. Thanks for having us and everything.
So, again, thank you to Brad and Connor for coming out. You guys want to plug your websites and social media stuff real quick? YouTube, all that nice jazz?
Yeah, sure. I'll type it in the chat.
At @ArenaGaming_ at Mr. Brad Weir. Mr. Brad Weir.
Mr. Brad Weir. And Connor? Do you have a Twitter?
Yeah. At OOH Connor, CONNOR, white, like the color. Pretty basic. Okay. I typed it in the chat as well.
Anybody that wants some AGL swag, our bona fide site's been down and it's going to be relaunching hopefully next week. And we're going to have like tons of new stuff on there. And alongside that, we will have some new Arena Gaming stuff. And we also have Arena Gaming snapbacks coming in. And those will be at Knoxville. They will be there. So it's going to be, they're awesome. So if you want an Arena Gaming hat, you can get it at Knoxville.
Nice. You guys have a YouTube channel, right, as well? And
yeah,
as well as Twitch.
Arena Gaming League. Everything's Arena Gaming League. Twitch, YouTube, Facebook. It's all Arena Gaming League.
Except for Twitter and except for your website.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah.
Damn. Yeah, your website is arenagaming.us.
Yes, it is. And we actually, we got the .com.
Oh, now, nice.
But it is going to be launching with our relaunch when Wired launches.
Ooh, relaunch. So
we will have the .com and everything with that.
Very interesting.
Coming up in the world.
No kidding. All right. Thank you guys very much for coming on the show. Really appreciate it. Thank you guys for listening to our show. Remember, you can find us at podtacular.com. And if you have any questions regarding anything that you heard tonight on the show or any Halo-specific questions, anything that could be from questions that you have about updates, questions that you have about competitive Halo, or maybe you want to just tell us a funny incident that you had within Halo, feel free to send it to us. We have a big green submit button on our homepage that you can click to send us stuff, or you can send it to us directly at submissions@podtacular.com, or you can call our listener voicemail at 240-200-HALO. That's 240-200-4256. Also, get involved in all of our social media stuff. We have Twitter, we have Facebook, we have YouTube, we have Twitch. Make sure you follow us and like us on all of those respective social community sites. We will have our Monday Night Matchmaking this week. It's at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, normal as always. We will also have Wacky Wednesday, which is our customs night on Wednesday at 8:30. No special podcasts projected for this next week, although we may do our Spartan Ops episode 11 for the epilogue and possible season 2, or what we would like to see from season 2 discussion sometime next week, in addition to our regular bulletin update show on Thursday at 8:30 p.m. right here on Twitch TV. Thank you everyone in the live stream for those who tuned in and asked us questions. We had a pretty active live stream tonight. Thank you guys for coming out, really supporting us, and coming out here supporting the show in person live. With that said, thank you everyone for tuning in. Thank you Brad and Connor for coming on the show, and we are out. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Later.